On the show today, we have Callahan Associates' John Jeffries talking about six big ideas for credit unions in 2016. So check it out. You guys have come up with six big ideas for credit unions in 2016. And before we get into those big ideas, why did you come up with these ideas? I mean, how did you come up with them? And then why did you come up with them?
Yeah, Mike, you know, we do a lot of work with credit unions and talking to a lot of leaders about what's on their agenda.
Yeah.
And through probably the second half of 2015, looking at the broader market, the broader world, but then talking to a bunch of leaders, hey, what's on your plate? What's it looking like? And how do we then use our position, our platforms, to spread those ideas through the industry. And we saw, as you said, six broad themes that were either coming up in every credit we went to, or things that were sort of emerging issues that we felt strongly about, that the broader industry needs to be aware of these things.
Most definitely. All right, let's dive right into them. Let's jump into these right here. Number one, financial wellness. And kind of one of the first lines you have after that one was 7% of Americans cannot cover a $400 emergency expense without selling something or borrowing money. That is truly scary right now. What's up with that?
Well, so Mike, let me give a little context for that, if I could. And a group of credit unions that we work with was working with a group out of Chicago called Center for Financial Services Innovation, CFSI.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this work that they do around financial health. And sort of looking at how do we measure consumer financial health in wellness. And it got us thinking about sort of what's the mission of credit unions, mm-hmm. right? And we were founded in the Great Depression to help people of modest means, right? And rightly or wrongly, modest means has a correlation, and people think low income,
right?
And that may have been true at that point in time, but you fast forward almost 100 years, that's not the problem that America has today, right? And we think that financial health and financial wellness is a better way to frame the challenge and the mission that we have as a country.
Right.
It's not uncommon for a credit union to have a member that makes $100,000 a year living paycheck to paycheck, right? You certainly would say that person is not low income.
Of course.
However, you would probably argue that person is not financially healthy, right? They may not be saving for retirement. If something pops up, they may not be able to pay for it without selling something. So we think that term financial health and financial wellness is a better way to frame the discussion about what's the mission of credit unions, right? Mm-hmm. How do we position ourselves to be the financial institution to help improve our members' financial lives?
Right.
And that totally differentiates us from community banks, regional banks, because we really are here to help our members one member at a time. And Mike, I think that sort of gets into the second of the six ideas that I can tell there. About relevancy.
Right? Building relevancy.
And so building relevancy is, how do you differentiate? How do you tell your story? So we think those two play really well together. Okay. Financial health is a way to differentiate the credit and value proposition, right?
I like that.
And
like
if you
that.
Say, how do you live that, right? How do you live your mission? Well, you have a member walk in and say, Mike, here to improve your financial health. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have to sit down with that member and say, where are your accounts? Where are you spending your money?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we help you move that, right? I think one of the things that we've been hearing a lot from leaders is, if you go and talk to a member off the street, the average member, average consumer, and say, do you need a loan? The answer is probably no, right? If you look at consumer space, help me get out of debt. Don't put me in more debt.
Exactly.
So I think if you can change that conversation, though, to say, hey, come to the credit and let us take a look at your holistic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you get out of debt, right? We're going to put you in a loan that pays down faster, less interest, less fee, so that you'll be more financially healthy. So you can save for retirement. So you can make that $400 payment if something comes up.
Exactly.
Totally changes the relevancy for credit. So we think those two sort of go together in a lot of ways.
All right. Number three here, team development. I thought this one was very interesting.
Yeah. So this is something that we stumbled on last year.
Okay.
We put our organization through it and then went to a group of credit unions and said, hey, let's beta something. And I think, Mike, what we found is if you look at running a credit union today, some of the challenges they face. One, there are more leaders churning in credit unions, right? You look at people retiring, people coming into the organization. It's very rare that you have a management team that's been in place for 4 or 5, 6 years. So you have new players coming in and out to an executive team. A lot of it may be, hey, the core is the same, but we're adding risk management or compliance or other payment systems. So the team is evolving. And whenever you have a team evolve, it's how do you manage those group dynamics, mm-hmm. right? How do you make sure that you're talking that common language? The second part we see is a lot of the big projects the credit unions are facing today, whether it be technology investments, thinking about strategy, they're not siloed anymore, right? It's much more cross-functional mm-hmm. where you need finance and marketing and IT to work together on a new program. Well, do we speak the same language? And the third part is, most credits are running really lean, right? They're busy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's a lot going on, whether it's new products, keeping up with regulation, compliance. Yeah, they're just running at it seems like 110%.
Yep.
So they don't have time to step back and look at strategy. So that's sort of one of the problem that we're trying to solve with team development is there always needs to be the investment in individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And I think people like Q's and Jim Cardwell and others do a really good job helping train individuals and bring the acumen of the individual up, right? And those are really valuable type programs. I think what's a little bit different about team-based learning is you go through it as a team, right? You learn the common language. You get to apply academic ideas to your own credit union together as a team. So it's sort of that common language, common experience, and sort of learn, hey, how are my colleagues going to approach this problem that may be different than me?
Indeed.
So I think that's the dynamic of team-based learning.
Gotcha. And one little side note, I just had lunch with Jim Cardwell yesterday.
Yeah. And I think the things that he does on individual leadership are fantastic. Yeah. So I think this is very much a compliment to sort of what's out there today.
Indeed. Let's jump into number four here. Disruptive collaboration. We're hearing this disruptive word a lot lately. Yeah. What's this one all about?
So I think disruption is, you said, Mike, a buzzword, right? It's one of those words that you hear all over the place. And rightly or wrongly, I think a lot of people use it the wrong way. As we think about disruption, right, there are really two ways that something gets disrupted,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of take an academic definition on it. One is someone comes in with a product that is not quite as good as yours, but it's good enough to get people to switch.
Right.
And there are all sorts of examples of that. Lending Club, for example, may be one that the credit unions are familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Members may go get a loan refinanced at Lending Club because it's faster, easier, but not because it's a better price.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The second type of disruption is a new market, right? So someone that comes out and gets people to consume that aren't consuming in the past. My favorite example there, and it's sort of outside financial services, is Crest White Strips.
Yes.
Right? Some of your viewers probably use them, right? But if you think back 15, 20 years, the only way if you wanted your teeth whitened, you go to the dentist.
Go to the dentist, that's right.
They do that stuff they do, and it costs money, and you have to have an appointment, and it was terrible, right? It wasn't a great user experience, and all of a sudden Crest comes up with a thing, and you can get it in the aisle of Target or Walmart, and it opened up the market, right? So I think those are the ways that we see the disruption happening. So I think for credit unions, it's how do we collaborate? How do we come together?
Mm-hmm.
Will our resources say, are there areas in which we can create products and services that are good enough, or are there some new markets we can exploit through our scale? So I think it's really helping credits think through, disruption, as you said, is a big buzzword.
Yeah.
How do we protect ourselves? But then if we wanted to go play offense somewhere and actually try to disrupt something.
Exactly.
Maybe very hard institution by institution, but as an industry with $1 trillion, 100 million members, you look at all the metrics, together, we may be able to get scaled to go do some of that.
Exactly. I mean, you guys kind of flip it on its head that credit unions can be the disruptors. So I think that's really, like you said, let's get on the offense, let's be proactive about this. Very cool. All right. Number five, equity investments, crowdfunding. I like this idea.
Yeah. So it was part of the Jobs Act that the SEC passed 2009, I believe. When the Jobs Act was passed, and it took the SEC a while to finally get their act together. But the idea here is, small business are the lifeblood, the backbone of the American economy, right? And if you talk to a small business owner today, it's really hard to raise capital, right? Think of a coffee shop that you go to or someone that is running a little restaurant or bar or bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
For them to invest in the next coffee maker or the next shelf or the next van or whatever it is, it's going to be really hard for that person to get financing, right? They're probably not a professional business person. They may have an audit done, but there really hasn't been a way for individuals to invest, to help them grow. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the value and the beauty of crowdfunding is, you know, take the local coffee shop. Could the owners come together or the customers come together and say, hey, we really love our local coffee shop and they want to add a patio to the back. How great would that be?
Yeah.
What if we need if 50 of us came together and each put a couple $100 in and helped fund that expansion, that growth?
Mm-hmm.
So what crowdfunding is going to allow is individual unaccredited investors for the first time ever to invest in small business. So we really think that that's going to be a catalyst for credit unions, especially community credit unions, who are out there talking to small business in their community and say, hey, you know, here's the type of program we can offer. We can get your offering in front of our members or a different platform to help you really be a catalyst for growth. And hey, by the way, as you grow, if you need to move from equity to debt, right, you need a mortgage, or you need a car or a business credit card, we can serve you there. As you grow and you need business deposits, we're a source there. So we think it's a way for credit to, as a pillar of the community, to, mm-hmm. to maintain that sort of place.
Mm-hmm.
So for some credit we think that could be a really interesting community element.
I like that a lot. And that really gets them out in the community, too. Makes them more aware or their image out in the community. Excuse me.
It certainly helps with relevance. And there may be a group of members, too, that you would want to invest in local business, right?
Exactly.
And you know, I don't think anyone's going to put a lot of their portfolio into it, but some may want to put $20, $50, $100 here or there and sort of support it. But you know, if you're a small business, you're trying to raise a couple $1,000s, you know, hey, $20 here, $50 there adds up. And you know, there's a famous story, Mike, I don't know if you've heard it, about this farmer's market in New York City. And there is a dairy person, and they put a little sign on their farmer's market stand, need to buy 4 new cows, right? Anyone want to contribute, right? And the SEC decided to prosecute them.
What?
For trying to raise money without a prospectus, right?
Okay.
It was solicitation of an individual investor,
okay.
which was illegal up until the Jobs Act, right?
Okay.
So I think that's just envision, hey, there are tons of small business, and hey, people who really like their cheese and their dairy may be willing to help them buy 4 more cows to grow their business.
Why not?
And yeah, that's just a neat example of regulation trying to come in and actually help. You know, I think we spend a lot of time talking about regulations that get in the way. That's a regulation that helps.
I like that. All right. Last but not least, sir, cybersecurity, the top of everybody's mind these days.
Yeah, you know, I think any credit union you go into, any leader you talk to, cybersecurity comes up, right? You know, sort of have the fears, right? The Target breach, the Sony breach, et cetera. And, we take a little bit different view on it, right? And I think the view is, there is a technology component to cybersecurity. However, it's a leadership and management challenge,
mm-hmm,
right? So I think we really talk to leaders and executives at credit and saying, is the executive team aware and ready and realize what's at stake for them, not, hey, IT and risk management have this covered, right? So it really is a leadership-type program and making sure that the credits are understanding from the executive level, hey, what's our responsibility,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you know, in the event that there is a cyber event, IT is going to be busy, right? They're going to be trying to figure out what's going on and stop whatever's going on, yet there are decisions that a management team will need to make together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really just trying to elevate this as, this is a topic that's coming up in every credit, every boardroom, but it's coming up in the IT focus, right?
Yeah.
How do we
yeah.
change the conversation to make it? And this is a management leadership type of discussion that needs to be happening around management tables and incorporating a whole management team, not an IT team.
Indeed.
Right? There are technical pieces on the IT side that they need to figure out, but you know, more strategically, how do we protect ourselves and how do we think about this?
And how can credit unions educate their members on this stuff too, you know, to protect themselves? I mean, that just adds value right there as well.
Well, and you know, do you have the plans in place, right? I think everyone has, you know, disaster recovery plans in place, and I think the FFIEC came out with some guidelines that are very helpful, but that's more on the technology side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're recommending credit unions to almost do a war game, if you will, or a tabletop event and say, hey, something just happened. Are we aware of the types of decisions that our organization is going to have to make? And then you want to stress it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the you know CEO is out of town and you can't get a hold of them, or if the IT person's on vacation in Hawaii, do we know how to respond, right? What are we going to do? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, hey, when Mike Lawson calls and said, hey, we heard there's a breach, what do you say?
Exactly. Gonna bust down your door. What's going on?
So I think that, again, Mike, I think all of these are about how do we increase the industry's relevancy, and how do we increase their ability to compete? And you know, I think some are very specific ways on, hey, here's a neat way to compete in communities. Others are more broader leadership. How do we increase the effectiveness of our teams? Mm-hmm. How do we better tell our story? How do we remain relevant? And how do we position ourselves to be sustainable for the long term?
No doubt.
Right.
No.
So I think that's sort of the part of the six is, you know, these are strategic issues that hopefully every credit union is talking about with their management team and boards through strategic planning.
Yeah, I think this really sets the table nicely for 2016. I mean, all these issues are top of mind and really compelling. And like you say, everybody should be talking about them and acting on them as well. So, this is why I wanted to talk to you, because I really love these ideas. So, I mean, they resonate quite well, I think, with probably 100% of the folks in this industry. So good stuff. Anything else to wrap up, John? Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, Mike, this is great. We're excited to talk about these issues. And hopefully next year we only have five. There aren't six. I think that there's always going to be emerging opportunities, threats, things that need to be aware of. And yeah, we're just happy that these ideas have resonated with so many people. So,
yeah, and the great thing about this is that you got this from credit unions. This isn't stuff that you just kind of threw on the wall. This is stuff that came directly from credit unions. So it's, you know, it's very peer related type stuff. So
right.
Well
yeah.
done.
Thanks.
All right.